Hello and welcome to season three of the Love Podcast with me, Pip.
And me, Sharon.
In this season, we'll be having conversations with mums and sons. We've called it Mums and Sons.
Yes, we have. We've called it Mums and Sons. So in the first half of the season, there'll be conversations with me and I'll be talking to different mums who are at different stages of the motherhood journey. They'll be sharing what their expectations were going into motherhood and what's happened ever since they became mothers. And also they'll be sharing with us some helpful advice, which I have really been blessed by.
Wonderful. Enjoy the episodes.
Podcast with my friend Emily. Emily, if you could just introduce yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Emily and I'm married to John, and together we have four children who are currently 8, 7, 4, and 2 years old. And I've been a full-time mum for the duration, but I've just recently gone back to work part-time. Yeah.
That's amazing. Amazing. So when it came to kind of the planning for and trying for children, what were your expectations going into it, and were those expectations met?
Yeah, so when we decided that it was, felt like the right time to try for children, we went into it sort of aware that it isn't always straightforward for people. I guess our main concern, if I'm honest, was fertility. And we just thought, you know, what if we struggle to conceive? Never did we actually think about, really, if I'm honest, about baby loss. And that was our reality, sadly. And fertility wasn't an issue for us, but we did lose three babies, and that happened across about 18 months. Like, they were all quite close together. And it was, I mean, it's a shock for anyone. Even if you are really clued up about miscarriage and baby loss, it's always going to be a shock, because it's never ever the outcome that anyone wants. I think we went into it sort of, you know, with the excitement that anyone has of like deciding that you're ready to try for a baby. And of course, that's exciting. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I, you know, it's right to be excited. But we definitely went into it not expecting anything to go wrong. And nor did we really have any friends that we knew of. Like, we had lots of friends with healthy children, but we didn't have any that we knew had gone through miscarriage. And so it was just something I'd never talked about with anyone before. And so yeah, it was a devastating time. I guess one of the lowest points of our lives, if I'm honest. We were just so longing for a child and were so kind of poleaxed, really, by losing. We went through that period of our lives. Was a real time of grief, and I think it was the reality was that actually it was really important to allow space to grieve. And our friends and family that were around us were amazing with that, and a lot of them had never had anyone close to them go through baby loss either, so it was like new ground for them. I'm so thankful for the friends and family that we had around us at that time, people who knew Jesus and were right there ready to support us and love us and pray for us through it. They gave us that space to grieve. And we also were really well supported by a charity called Saying Goodbye, who are a national charity who put on services of remembrance for anyone that wants to acknowledge and recognise a baby that they've lost, whether that's in early pregnancy, late, you know, whenever. And that was amazing, because that really, that enabled us to mark our children, even though we lost them, all three of them, we lost them in the first trimester. It was so, because then, you know, there's nothing, you don't get any paperwork from the hospital to acknowledge your loss. You don't have anything. And obviously it's an individual's choice whether you name them, which we did, because we felt that was really important. But going to these services was like someone was saying, yes, like you can acknowledge, here's a service for your baby. And that was really, really important.
I mean, I can't imagine, Emily, like 3 losses in 18 months. Like, I mean, we lost one baby in the first trimester, and I remember like trying again, there was that like, what if it happens again? Yeah. But for you, like, you went through that. I just can't imagine. Like, so each time, how did you feel going into it each time? Can you describe?
Yeah, definitely. There was definitely fear there. You know, we were giving it to God all the time and asking him to just give us peace. But it was a daily battle, really. The struggle with fear of just, is it going to happen again? And I think for our second baby, I mean, it was hard with all of them, but the second baby that we lost, we had early scans because we were just really worried. And those early scans showed that everything was great and going really well. And we'd even had an 11 and a half week scan and everything was brilliant and measurements were great. And so we're like, oh, this is it, like, it's happening. And then we went for another scan at 13 weeks, and that's when they couldn't find a heartbeat and we found that the baby had passed away. And that was just the biggest shock, because I think that we had, prior to that 13 and a half week scan, we'd started to relax a little bit and started to think, this is it now, this is happening. And so it was such a shock. And I'll never forget that night. We were shell-shocked, we were devastated, and we just said to our close friends around us from church, like, will you come and pray? Like, we know that God is a God of miracles. And if he wants to bring this child back, he can. But we will pray for this tonight. And if it doesn't happen, we'll go for another scan tomorrow. And if it hasn't happened, we'll accept that, you know, our baby is staying with Jesus. And that night was honestly one of the most incredible nights of prayer I've ever experienced, where we just felt so close to God, like his presence was so tangible. And it was just this, like, we were so faith-filled, but also so at peace that God is sovereign and he will do what he will do. Mm-hmm. And we found out the next day that our baby wasn't alive, and, you know, nothing had changed. And, you know, we still then very much went through a grieving process, but we were at peace with what God's will, basically. That doesn't take the pain away and it doesn't take the grief away, for sure. But we did have, I guess, comfort and peace in that God, it's a mystery, but God knows what's best in these situations, and he's already decided. And and we can have peace in the mystery, as hard as the pain might be. Yeah, so each and every time it was, yeah, definitely there was fear there.
But now you have 4 healthy children, so the 4th time was successful. So do you want to talk us through what happened there?
So the 4th time, just son who's 8 years old now. The pregnancy sort of seemed to be going okay to start with. You know, we were really nervous. We had an amazing doctor looking after us by this point, who insisted on giving us weekly scans, just to reassure us. Like, literally, she said, I'm not actually concerned there's anything wrong here, but she said, if this will bring you reassurance, I will do it. She was amazing. And that was all on the NHS, but she was just like, I want to do this for you. Like, incredible lady, incredible doctor. And she ended up looking after us with each of our babies afterwards. So she was amazing and everything was going really well until all the scans were good. And then at 13 and a half weeks, I woke up in the night and it became very evident that my waters had broken completely. And, you know, any one of us that's been pregnant before will know that the moment you have any type of symptom like that, bleeding or waters or any, or, you know, anything, you know something's wrong. And I panicked, and John, my husband, you know, we were both so worried. And I just said, we just need to get to the hospital to get checked. And this is where, again, my doctor, NHS doctor, had said to me, give me her number, and always said to me, like, if you ever need to contact me, like, just do. She's just an amazing lady. So I text her, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I text her in my panic and just said, I, you know, this is what's happened. You might not even be on duty, you might not even be awake, but I just wondered, you know, if you're around at the hospital, it'd be great to see you. And she's amazing. Like, she messaged me back and just said, I'm not actually at the hospital, but she said two of my doctors are, and I'm going to arrange for them to be waiting for you at Chase Farm A&E. And because there was still the A&E at Chase Farm then. And so we drove to the hospital. We were living in Haringey at the time. And I just remember vividly, we were both crying. Mm. We were both so worried. And we just cried out to God and just said, God, we basically just said, God, only you can put these waters back. Like, I knew what had happened, and I knew that medically and clinically speaking, there'd be nothing that a doctor could do. Not at that stage. And we just kept saying that over and over again. We just kept praying and crying in the car as we were driving there, just saying, God, please just put these waters back. And we just said, we can't, like, this can't happen again. We just said, Lord, it can't. We can't do this again. And I'll never forget, like, we arrived in the A&E, full waiting room, and there were just these two, it felt like they were angels waiting for us, because there were these two doctors just standing there. Wow. And they just looked at me and said, are you Emily? And I said, yeah. And they said, come straight through, which was like, it's just crazy. And so we went straight through, and they had a scanning machine ready, which they don't often or ever have in A&E either, so that was mad. And so they just said, you know, like, they were really reassuring and just full of peace. And they just said, let's just scan you. And as they started to scan me, oh, it just gets me every time. As they started to scan me, we could just see our baby just doing cartwheels and, like, spinning around and, like, happy as anything. And we were both, like, even though we'd prayed, even though we were full of faith and knowing that God could do a miracle, you still, in that moment, when you see a miracle, you're still a bit like, what? Like, kind of amazed that God's done it, even though you know he can. And I remember just saying, we both just kept looking at the screen going, what, he's, because we knew, we were already had picked up from other scans that it was a boy, and we're like, he's alive, he's okay. And they were like, yeah, he is. And then my husband, just like, we were so thankful to God, and both sobbing. And then my husband just said, but how do you explain the water? And he actually picked up my clothes that we'd brought in, because we wanted to try and show them just how much water I had lost. And, you know, so he, like, held up my, like, soaking wet trousers, and they both just stood there, like, looked at them, and, like, looked at the clothing, and they looked at us, and their words were, they just said, Mrs. Priestley, we have absolutely no explanation for what's happened. And then they pointed at the screen and they said, you see this fluid around your baby? And we said, yeah. They said, that's actually more fluid than we've ever measured on anyone before. So they said, wow, your baby is just surrounded by more water than we've ever seen. And we were like, what? And yeah, it was just a complete miracle. And the pregnancy went on to be free of complications. There weren't any other, there were no other complications, and he was born healthy and well, full term. And yeah, it was just miraculous. And we always say, and when we've explained it to him, we always just say, every baby is, like, protected by supernatural water, but we were just like, you were given, like, fluid around you to protect you from God. Like, it's just amazing.
Yeah, amazing. So, I mean, I've obviously heard you tell that testimony before, and it was just like, I mean, I just love hearing people's testimonies and just hearing about, you know, the miracles that God does. But during that time, you know, I know you mentioned about trying for baby number two, like, did you ever lose hope in that period? How did you keep that hope? How did you keep on putting yourself in that situation, not knowing what the outcome would be?
Yeah, I don't think we ever lost hope. There were definitely moments where sort of energy wise, I think we were both just like, can we go through this again? Like, can we risk going through this again?
Yeah.
Because we just sort of felt, there were times where we just felt so zapped of energy, and it was sort of the preparation of, like, emotionally of thinking, can we, like, do we dare try again and risk putting ourselves through this emotionally again? Because you want to protect yourself, don't you? Like, when you know something will happen. But I think the key was that we never lost hope about whether God could do it. Mm. And I think that, you know, we knew in our own strengths, like, we couldn't cope emotionally. But truly, like, and this was as a result of just leaning on God and trusting him. And like I said, being surrounded by people that kept encouraging us and supporting us in our relationship with God. But yeah, we just always had this absolute certainty that if he wanted to, that God could do it. And we knew that. And I think for us, that was an absolute truth. Like, God can do miracles. And even if, for whatever reason, because at this point, when we'd lost the babies, we didn't know if there was some problem that was actually stopping me from being able to carry a baby. Mm. But we just had this absolute kind of trust and knowledge that, you know, even if there's something wrong with my body, even if there's some condition, whatever it is, if God wants us to have a healthy baby, he can do that, because he can do anything. And I think that's what kept us full of hope, like, even in the moments where we were struggling. Just that God's a God of miracles. And I think we just kept coming back to that and kept, we always say, like, despite that time being such a hard time emotionally and mentally, I feel like it was a time that drew us closer to God like never before. Like, I guess we just had to depend on him completely, because it was all beyond our control. Like, it was beyond doctor's control. It was beyond our control. And it was only God that could give us a healthy child. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's what kept us.
So how would you say that that experience, and also, like, now that you are a mother, how has that shaped your relationship with God?
Yeah, I think it taught me a lot about trusting in him. Mm. And I think that's really shaped me and taken me into motherhood, like, in a crazy kind of way. You know, God teaches us through everything, doesn't he? And, you know, I don't love the pain that we went through of losing the babies, but I can see how there are things that we learn and experienced in God during that time that have shaped us and shaped me as I came into actually mothering the four children that we have on earth now. And I think something that it really taught me, Sharon, that I know I knew to be the case before, but I knew it even more after what we went through, and now as a mother, that I'm not in control. I am not in control of anything. And I love to tell myself that I am, because we all do that, don't we? But actually, God is in control and I'm not. And I think I feel like that's a lesson I learn over and over again in life, and even more so as a mother now. Like, I just need to trust God in everything and lean on him in everything, because ultimately he is God and I am not, and he is in control and I am definitely not, despite my attempts to be in control of things. And I think that was something that really sort of shaped me through what we went through, and then coming into motherhood and the craziness of the highs and lows and the madness that motherhood is. And I love it, but it's crazy, isn't it? But I think I'm reminded of that often in the crazy moments in particular, like, God, you are in control and I'm really not. And I feel like it's really taught me to just call upon him in everything. Like, don't get me wrong, there are moments where I forget to do that, and I need to remind myself regularly. But, you know, in hard times with the kids and figuring stuff out as a mother, and in the good times as well, like, I just need to call upon him and, like, ask God for help in the tiny little things of my day, in the bigger decisions. Like, I just need to ask him for help, and he'll always do that, won't he? Like, he always delivers. And remembering that he's in control and I'm not is like the most freeing thing as well. Like it frees you from worry, it frees you from, you know, the fears of that you get as a mother. Like it just, yeah, it's really releasing remembering that.
Yeah, 100%. I think like I didn't realize how much of a control freak I was until I had children. And I would say, yeah, I trust God, you know. But yeah, I think having children has really kind of revealed to me my lack of trust. And definitely of recent years, I feel God's really like, you know, showing me that and saying to me, Sharon, just release it, surrender.
Yeah. Absolutely. I feel like it's a lesson I just have to keep learning over and over again. Like God's so patient with us, isn't he? Because he must be like, oh, how many times have I taught you this? Honestly. But
So like since being a mother, is there like one piece of advice that you think you would have benefited from if someone had told you something about that particular thing in advance? Being a mother.
I think there are a lot of things, but one thing that did really come to my mind, because I don't feel like anyone did say this to me in advance, is the worst thing that I think the worst thing that you can do to yourself as a mother is put pressure on yourself. Like I feel like this is again a lesson that I've had to learn over and over again, but particularly when our eldest was born, and you know, it was the first time I'd looked after a baby and everything that goes with having a newborn and figuring it all out together with your partner or your husband. And I think it wasn't really that anyone else was putting pressure on me, but I definitely put a lot of pressure on myself that everything had to be perfect, that, you know, I had to sort of do, you know, you can read so much stuff about parenting, can't you? And I didn't do a crazy amount of reading because I was conscious that I could so easily like get overwhelmed with like trying to do every parenting technique under the sun. So it wasn't that I'd read loads, but I was just conscious of, you know, well, what I thought was the right way to do things. And, you know, anything from like how feeding should be to like, you know, whether you're doing baby led weaning and, you know, all these different options that you find yourself facing. And I just would say that is definitely advice that I wish I'd had, just to, and I know it's hard because I guess every new mother has to sort of navigate it for themselves and learn for themselves what's going to work and what's not, but just try not to put pressure on yourself to make things perfect, because ultimately perfection doesn't exist anyway. Like nothing in this world is perfect, and parenting's never going to be perfect, certainly not. And so I think I know it's a verse that's well used because it's so important, but that verse that says, I think it's in 1 Peter, where it says love covers a multitude of sins. And I feel like you have to know and I guess be told ideally, but remember that nothing's going to be perfect in motherhood or parenting, and you are going to make mistakes, but God's love will cover you. Like will cover you if you're giving yourself to him and putting God first, then he will cover you and cover the things that do go wrong and cover the stuff that in the evening you get to the point, you know, you get to the evening and they've all gone to bed and you think, oh, I don't think I dealt with that well. I don't think I did that right. And I think I've really messed that up. And I'm going to have to talk to them in the morning because I feel like I've not, you know, done that justice or whatever it is. And then, you know, and those things are important to put right if you do feel like something's gone wrong. But you also have to remember, I'm not perfect. I'm never going to be, but because of Jesus, like I'm covered by his love and he loves me and he loves my kids and he will work things out for us.
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do remember like in the early stages of my firstborn kind of hanging out with you and like I used to ask you so many questions. What did you do in this situation? What did you do in that situation? And like you really helped me because you seem like a really like relaxed mother then.
Oh, so, I'm glad to hear that.
perhaps didn't feel like it, honestly, because I was like just stressed all the time. So like it, you were like a really calming influence, like, so yeah, you did come from...
I'm glad that some parts of life seemed calm. I just always feel like, particularly, I don't know, like even more so now when I come with like four kids behind me, I just feel like we just create a whirlwind of madness wherever we go. And just like, people must just think our lives are just crazy, which they are, really, to be honest. But
So like, if you were to give one kind of golden nugget to anyone who's either planning for, trying for kids, or in the early stages of motherhood, like, what is that kind of one solid piece of advice that you would give to someone?
Yeah, I guess this applies to what I was thinking of, sort of applies more to when they get a little bit older and can talk to you, but I guess it does apply still when they're babies. But both me and my husband John are real believers in asking your children for their take on things, like spiritually, but not necessarily, you know, phrasing it in a spiritual way, because you don't need to always. But we've really learned over the years to just, you know, like, not over everything, but like something that we might be talking about between the two of us, or figuring out, or making a decision on, and we might just say to them, you know, what do you think about this? And, you know, we can't obviously involve them in every decision because it's not necessarily appropriate, but we've just learned time and time again just how much we learn from our children. Like, you know how, you know, as parents, we expect to be the ones teaching our children, and we are, because we teach them in the way they should go, and we're, you know, we're nurturing them and teaching them as much as possible. But we've been like so amazed by how much we've learned from our children, and we learn all the time from the things they come out with, but also when we're really deliberate about asking their opinion and just asking what they can see, or what God's been saying to them lately, and yeah, just like. Just like recent, like the other night, our 4-year-old, we were in the middle of like bedtime madness. Like, we just bathed them. Like, our youngest 2-year-old, they were all in the same room, and they were running around and hyperactive, and, you know, like madness before bed. You know, really calm experience before bed. No, and then someone was reading a story. Someone else wasn't getting dressed. Like, it was just mad. And then our four-year-old, who we thought was just like sitting reading a book. She just suddenly looked up at us, and she wasn't reading a Christian book or the Bible, and she just looked at us all, and she went, "Do you know what?" This was being really serious and like deadpan. She's like, "Do you know what?" So we said, "Yeah, what's up?" And she said, "God will always love us." And it was just one of those moments where we were like, because everyone went quiet, like it just stopped everyone in their tracks, even my 2-year-old. And we just said, "Yeah, you're absolutely right. Wow. What made you think of that?" Yeah. And so she said, "Oh, God was just talking to me about it." We were like, wow. You know, when you're just like, wow, in the midst of this craziness and this noise and this chaos, like, God's speaking to you. And it really caused us all to just stop, and it really affected like how we prayed together that night, because we were just it then led to like this whole conversation about, you know, God's love for us being eternal, and, you know, there's nothing that we can do that's ever going to change his love for us. And I'm just regularly amazed by how much we learn from our kids, and how much God is speaking to them all the time in ways that we wouldn't expect. And sometimes they'll just come out with it, but also I think it's really important to ask them, like, what's going on, like, have you had any dreams recently, or, you know, has God been saying anything to you? And sometimes they're just really, I mean, kids are black and white, aren't they? They're just like, no, he hasn't spoken to me. And then you're like, okay, conversation over. But other times it's like this really deep and meaningful, like, wow, like, this is amazing revelation. And it really is, like, you never quite know what they're going to say next. It's not always a highly spiritual moment at all. But yeah, that would be, so it's a long piece of advice, but expect to be taught by your children is what I'm saying, and be proactive in asking them what God's saying to them, and what they're learning about God, because he will reveal himself to them.
Do you know what? It's so profound, because I think having even though my mum was white British, like I would say that I had a Nigerian upbringing. And you know, children are kind of treated in a particular way. And so actually it's something that what you've just said is something that I've never really thought about, because it's not anything that I've been encouraged to think about, if that makes sense. It's actually such helpful advice for me right now, because like sometimes Zachariah and Asha, they'll just, like you say, they'll just come out with statements about God. And I obviously like encourage them in that moment, but I don't think about asking them why they've just said that. Yeah. So thank you for that, because that's what I will start to do now.
A pleasure. No, and I don't know if we've got time, but there's one more little story that I just thought of. There was one night when my eldest was only about 3 at the time, and we always like do a story, not necessarily a Bible story, but do some kind of story before bed and pray. And this night we just said, is there anything you want to pray for? Because we try to be really in the habit of that, like, and sometimes they'll say really random things, like, you know, like my 2-year-old at the moment, if you ask him what we should pray for, he always says lollipop. So, you know, he's after the lollipop. Like I said, it's not always super spiritual, but this, when my eldest was 3, we'd just been reading a story, and he just, when we said, what do you want to pray for? He said, hot air balloon. We were like, what? And because there'd been no conversations about hot air balloons, we hadn't seen one, there was nothing in the story about one, and I nearly passed it off, and I was just like, oh, okay, like, well, let's just pray, you know. And my husband was there, and he was like, no, there's something significant about this. He's really definite about it. Yeah. And he did keep saying it, no, pray for the hot air balloons. We're like, okay. So my husband just prayed a really simple prayer, like, we pray for the hot air balloon, pray for the people that are in it. And I don't quite remember exactly what he prayed, but it was a very simple prayer. And then my son was quite content after that, because he was really like, he was insistent that we had to pray. And the next morning, Sharon, we woke up and looked at the news, and there'd been a massive hot air balloon crash in America where all, I think it was like 10, I can't remember how many involved, but everyone had been killed. And we were just like, God, like, Lord, what was that? Like, what was going on there? And we just really felt God speaking to us about how he'd given our son that word of knowledge for us to pray for people that were calling on God for salvation in the last moments of their life. Oh, and you know, when you just like, it just blew us away. And I think that was a really early on lesson, because like I said, that was my eldest son when he was little. That was a really good lesson for us to pay attention to the things that they come out with that can seem really random. And I still have to remind myself to pay attention to those, because sometimes I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, like, you know, let's carry on thinking it's just, you know, there's nothing in it. And sometimes there won't be anything in things they come out with. But yeah, like, it's just another example to me of like, God loves speaking to children, doesn't he? Just as much as adults. And yeah, like, it really taught us to keep on asking them, like, what God's saying, but also, what do you want to pray for? Like, who do you want to pray for?
Yeah. Wow. Oh, Emily, that was incredible. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
No, pleasure.